So we pray, Heavenly Father, we know that many centuries ago now, when you were here with your people, your own people according to the flesh, and you were there in the boat with them in the storm, you were there, and it didn't seem to mean too much to them, except they began saying, "Don't you care that we're going to perish? What are you doing anyway?" And then there were the crowd, Lord, that was a serpent seed, determined to kill that one that was the author of life and life himself, the good tree of life. And now in this end time, Lord, we realize that you are here again, not in a human figure, but in the pillar of fire, form of the Holy Spirit. And the people are saying, "He's here, so what? Or that's just another doctrine, like serpent seed." And so we wonder if people really have any idea concerning the truth that your vindicated servant said his ministry was to declare, to fully reveal, to make known, to show that you yourself are here, the same one that came to Paul to bring the word and now reveal it, the same one that came at the time of Paul, same one here again. And so many don't realize. We pray, Lord, that we here this morning will realize it. And those within the sound of my voice or by tape, whichever way, will really realize that truth. And may it do something for them, for all of us. Give us more sincerity, sobriety, dedication, and above all, a true sanctification unto thee, Lord, so that the life might be of Christ. As even as Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in it. Help us to that end. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I guess I was looking down the road to the week after next when it sounded as though we'd have a service this Wednesday, but there's never a Wednesday service prior to any communion service because we double up on the weekend. Now, we're at number 4 on the end time seed sign, and in our last examination of this message, we found Brother Branham still referring to Eve and Mary as the examples of two brides, one of which, Eve, refused the word of God delivered by God himself. She misbelieved it, added to it, went away from it. While Mary received the word of God, even though it was delivered, but by an angel. Already it had been written, it was the word of God. It was the hour of manifestation, and so therefore, she being that virgin of the word, not that she'd already had the word, but she was a virgin to it, open to it. There was then something in her that wasn't in the Pharisees. God, Jesus said, "You got no place in you for my word." She was the one that had it, and therefore she types the virgin church of the end time. And in paragraph 78, it seems quite simply put that Eve herself, and yet representing the church, sent Christ away, and Mary, representatively of the last church, of the right church, the true church, brought him back. And now at the end, for today indeed it is the end time, we see the church as Eve putting Christ outside the body entirely, but a tiny virgin bride of the word, even Mary, welcomes and brings him back and unites with him. As it was the season or the fullness of time that Christ came that first time in flesh, it is now the season for him to come the second time in flesh for the wedding supper. Brother Branham goes into that as he speaks about certain epical seasons, which are 2,000-year periods, and bringing this up to the consummation of 6,000 years and going to the millennium. So we're going to read then on page 22, paragraph 80. We are taught that the world was created in 6,000 years, being one day as 1,000 years with God. Thus 6,000 years in creation. All right. 6 days it's called, and the Bible says 1 day is 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is 1 day with God. Now, the first 2,000 years, the world cosmos, the order of the world, came to an end. As it came to an end, and God had to send something, the judgments from heaven, and judge the earth in judgment and save the righteous Noah and his family. Now, you're looking here then at an Alpha and Omega principle, and particularly Brother Branham says the judgments from heaven. So let's go back to the third chapter of Genesis, and you'll notice in the 8th verse, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now this is the one from heaven. God from heaven comes down to the earth. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And, of course, you'll notice here that God now judges according to his word. The word had a period of time wherein it was testing Adam and Eve. Like the Bible said, the word of the Lord tried Joseph until it came that time for the word to be fulfilled. You notice the word always tries. God stands back and he watches his word. He watches over his word, and then he must fulfill his word. And so you see what they have here then. Judgment came down from heaven. And God brought his word before these two people. The very same word he gave at the very beginning to see what they would do with it. Now that sounds very familiar, so you're beginning to see the Alpha and Omega of this hour. The Apostle Paul, William Branham. You way back in the days of Moses and all the prophets, you notice every single time there comes the judgment from heaven, there comes the confrontation. Like the Bible said, God said, I'll go down and see what they're doing. Well, come on now. God didn't have to go down to the Tower of Babel and see what they're doing. He knew what they were doing. He went down there and set them on their ear. The judgment came from heaven. So, you'll notice there, you could say then, God gave a warning, which warning was unheeded, then he himself came down. Always there is the judge. And you cannot get away from it because Scripture is full of judgment. Now, how people can begin to talk about judgment on the earth as they do, and they know something is ready to happen, how they cannot connect it with what we are talking about here this morning. Now, you see, there's the fallacy of the serpent seed and the foolish virgin. They know something is going on. Now, the serpent, it doesn't mean a thing to him. Hey, so what? We don't believe it anyway. Now, the foolish virgin gets sort of, you know, kind of almost mesmerized with what's going on, but can't get a clear track to the open door. So you've got a real problem. You can see right here, at this particular time, you do not have... Well, you have a wise and a foolish virgin in a limited sense. And then you have that old serpent standing right there. But judgment has come down. And you'll notice in here, as the word comes forth in judgment, God tells what he's going to do about the word which has been neglected, changed, disbelieved, violated. Call it what you want. He tells you what he is going to do, what the consequences are, and what the steps are following on down. So this starts right here in the Garden of Eden. Now let's take it then to what Brother Branham is saying here in Article 81. Now, the first 2,000 years, the world cosmos order of the world comes to an end. And God had to send something. The judgment from heaven, and judge the earth in judgment. Now notice the use of those words normally would sound like a little hillbilly. But if you go to Scripture, you will notice that sometimes words are repeated for emphasis, as it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, I understand it even goes to the third degree. And when you take one word, take the same word, you are actually using the root system where you are then actually doubling it. So like you have 2 to the 2nd power, you got 4. And you take it a higher, you got 8. And you go, you can, so when the Word of God comes to us, we know positively that it's even greater than mathematics and numerics. What it is, you are seeing that God Himself, and there's scripture for this, has given this Word the 2nd time, telling you truly, and you are not going to miss it. So in here, you have judgment, judge, judgment. And then you have the word righteous. Now, the disobedience in the world systems which are taken up by the church, and they joined back in Nicaea, has got to come to an end where you've got a threefold judgment. And you will notice at the end time, the church is purged, the Jews are purged, and the earth is purged. You got a threefold. And when that's purged, there is nothing left. So Brother Branham is giving us the key here of the definitive finality of God, who must deal with His Word. And to try to ask God not to deal with His Word is like, as I've said, "Oh God, please make Cincinnati the capital of Ohio instead of Columbus, because that's what I've got on my paper." Forget it. Forget it. And let's understand this in your life and mine. The Word of God is going to be fulfilled. If we are all bride, there isn't one of us that's going to miss it. If we are not all bride, we are not all going to be there. You have to be definitive. So, Brother Branham is very definitive. And he says here, positively, judgments from heaven, and judge the earth in judgment. So what he's saying here is that when you speak of God bringing judgments, and he uses the word righteous only once, you had better believe that the message to the righteous is not even going to be heard except by the few righteous. In other words, the right hand of God in blessing is barely, if hardly revealed, but the left hand in judgment is upon the earth now to fulfill every single thing that's under those seals and every single thing that God said concerning the blood of righteous Abel to the last martyr of this hour is going to come upon this earth. And you'll see it's judgment, judgment, judge. Now, this being the case, I want to humbly set a premise before you can take or not take. Those who claim to believe this message, if they cannot see the judge, where are they standing? I want to know. Well, you say, there again, you're building a house around yourself. Hallelujah. Thanks for the compliment. I only hope that your assessment is God's assessment. Because I'm hoping that's exactly what we're doing. And you are doing it. Building upon the solid rock. So when all the other things are poured out before we get out of here, we are not going to have any problem. Why? Because the Word has to take over. There comes a day when not only the thrones are set and the judgments have set in, and that's what's going on in all the democracies and all the totalitarian areas, here the thrones are set and the judgment has set now. When is the hour of execution? When do they pull the switch? You notice the world is going back to capital punishment? Oh, for a long time. Oh, no, no, no. That never changed anything. Oh, no. They say all the reports by the media, the big mouth idiots of the media, they're the crime of the hour in my books. There's nothing like them. They were the ones that said, oh, Ingham, this proved. Take away capital punishment. Less people are killed. A few years later, they admitted it was a lie. The minute you take away that fear of death, they know they can go out here and do what they want. They're going to keep doing it. And what is it? It's called plea bargaining. There he is. Go and plead with him. Be my guest. Even say, God, I'm a sinner. I admit it. Go ahead. If his words already condemn you, what are you trying to plead for? I know you're pleading. If a man sin against man, the judge will judge him. But if a man sin against thee, O God, who shall plead for him? Who did the pleading with Adam for Adam and Eve? So bless God, I have got an intercessor. Do you? That's a laugh. Do you know who the intercessor is? He's high priest. And there's no high priest in office without prophet. I hope you're getting this down flat, because it is awfully, awfully flat. And either I am 100% wrong with the message Brother Branham brought, or I'm 100% right, because I'm not going in between. Because he's the one that just a while ago said, you love to quote John 3:16. Why don't you take it to John 20, where the church forgives sins? Or he said, you make a pretense, you make a mockery, and by your creeds and dogmas in your own style, but God doesn't recognize it. There's only one forgiveness of sins, and that's through the gospel, and that's got to be the gospel that Paul preached. See, judge. Judge, always judged. Now notice, and we combine 82 with 81, and Brother Branham seems a little bit fuzzy, as though he got his wires crossed here, but he hasn't got it. He said the second 2,000 years, the same thing take place again as what took place in that 2,000 years that preceded it. That's what he's really saying. Cosmos, world order, even the church was polluted. After Noah, we find the story of God choosing Abraham, raising up Israel, Jehovah's bride. She polluted herself. Now he's making a reference to the first 2,000 years, what happened in the next 2,000 years, which were 4,000 years that brought forth Christ, the days of Noah. Prophet, see? Judge. Judgments. They mocked and made fun of him. And he preached for 120 years in the door of the ark. And in the second 1,000 years, the church went into captivity and committed whoredom with the world and became nothing but a bunch of forms and creeds, dogmas, see? And God sent judgment to the earth by sending his son. What did Jesus say in John 5? He said, I don't do any judging. He's all committed unto the Father, and turns right around and says he is a judge because the Father committed to him. Now, how was judgment committed to the Son? Through the vindicated word. Judge doesn't carry out the sentence. The judge is the one who interprets the word and enforces it by the power of the state or whatever brought that word. Now, who brought the word? God brought the word. So Jesus just stands there as judge. And in the last day, he brings it right back at the time of the resurrection. Right there again, Son of Man is judged. Now, what's Son of Man? The complete ministry of God manifested in the flesh of Jesus Christ. God now himself doing it in the form of the Holy Ghost, manifesting again in the flesh of a prophet, proving it, this showing we are at judgment. And that's the end of the 2,000 years we're talking about now. We'll get to it. We're just actually a little ahead of ourselves, which is 1, 2, 3. Judge, judgment, judgment. And who's doing it? God is doing it. Based upon what? His word. Enforcing his word. So, all right. He stands there, God sending his son. Now, remember, we read the last time John chapter 5 and showed it to you. Now, what we are looking at here is that God is taking over. And this is a step in God taking over, where he said he would bring everything back according to Genesis 3:15 when the serpent power would be destroyed. Now remember, headship went to Satan by what was done in the Garden of Eden. Now, the headship has to be taken back. And this is what we're looking at, is a step toward it. Because it was on the cross, and we'll go to Colossians and you can see this for yourself, what happened through Jesus Christ, in the 20th verse, first chapter, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven or things on earth, or in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, now he's talking to the church, if the church will keep the faith delivered unto them, there will be a body delivered perfectly. But remember, the church doesn't do it. Now remember, only the elect will not be deceived. If you continue in the faith, once and for all, delivered to the saints, the revelation given by Paul, grounded and settled. Well, Paul heard the same old junk. This is not the real thing. We'll know it when it comes. We're smart. Oh, yeah, you'll know it. Lies, lies, lies. Surmises, surmises, surmises. You think that's going to take the place of the word? Come on. And be not moved away from the hope, the earnest expectation of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. Now he tells you he is the authority. All right, now here is what we see was accomplished by the Son, because judgment was set in. Now this is the judgment. And the judgment is what? Through him, those that were far off were made near and are completely unblameable in the sight of Almighty God. And remember at the same time, the bruised reed he did break and the smoking flax he did quench. And Israel is completely rejected as blind, not dead. And they'll be born as a nation. And they've paid their price and continue to pay their price. Now, that's the second 2,000 years. Now, at the end of the third 2,000 years since Christ. And he says, now this is 1962. And at that time was actually 1969. And today, astronomers and people that understand archaeology, genealogy, and chronology will tell you flat there is 7 years difference. So this is now the year 2000 expiring. So how far can we go? Well, in the third day he raises them up. And you know as well as I do, we're taught truthfully that if you have 1 hour of the day, that's called the whole day. If you have one day, that's counted as the week. If you have a week of the month, you count as a month. You got part of the year, it's counted as year. That's why Brother Branham could categorically said 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth meant within that period. Of course, he's challenged by all spiritual boneheads and corrupt satanic seed. They haven't got enough brains even to read the books. They're correct. I've shown you all about it. You know where you stand. So, all right. From this point on, third day, there's got to be a resurrection. See, back here it was already 69. Now it's 93, add 7, here 2000. So, you better believe the judgment's here. Now, this is 1962, what does the Bible say? The Bible said in the last days that the works would have to be cut short, the scriptures can't lie, for the elected's sake, for the elected's sake. Notice a repetition now, double. Or there'd be no flesh saved. Then we see we are at the end. Now he's talking about Matthew 24 there. No flesh saved except for the elect. Now, if you want to go back to Matthew 24, you're going to see there that Brother Branham is talking about plague setting in. That's what he has in mind here. And it says here, they said to Jesus said there'll not be a stone left upon a stone that's not thrown down when they took him to the temple. And then later on they came and said upon the Mount of Olives, and that's where, you know, the mountain is going to cleave one day. They look for the rapture and those things. Brother Branham never said it, so I just leave it alone. Tell us when these things shall be, what will be the sign of thy presence in the end of the world. Or the consummation of the age. Now remember, this is the very same thing that is referred to, the presence, in Luke 19 and 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. So they're in a frame of mind here of expecting the temple to be thrown down, everything into a world new order, and they wonder, now when are you going to inaugurate this and bring this all to pass? So anybody that thinks that these disciples were even suggesting that they knew that Jesus was going to die and come back in a kingdom are so stupid. I wouldn't even want to talk with him about a breakfast cereal that went snap, crackle, and pop. Because even after his resurrection, they didn't have a clue. Let us sink in. This is the theology that's taught in the books, and I've got them. This is the crud that you've listened to and gone right along. Beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day. Yeah, it was a beautiful day when the floods came, too, and nobody knew, and they'd get carried away. They were shooting the moon and everything else, and one bomb went off and started a chain reaction that took care of it. How in the world did they know it here and didn't know it there? In other words, if I know right now, I'm standing here in this pulpit, and my watch is a little fast, says 11:37, and 1 minute from now, I don't know it. Amnesia? Come on. So, all right. He's telling you what's going to be the sign of his presence? Judgment. Plagues. Exactly what it says in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, 7 to 10, especially about 8, 9, and 10. And he tells you all of these things. And the most important thing you are to remember is at the time of the judge, and the prophet element has to be there, and a prophet has to be vindicated, that all of these other guys are going to rise up with signs following, just like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did not have signs that preceded them. They had signs after Moses brought the vindicated word, by signs preceding his word, vindicated he had a right to talk. Just like the Apostle Paul, and even Schofield knew that Paul was vindicated. But Schofield was not for this hour, so fine, we just leave him out of the picture. Now it tells you, at the end time, there's going to be such as come upon the earth that except for the grace of God, the judge putting into action his judging word, which is favorable, as at the time of God standing with Abraham outside of the tent before the sun came in flesh and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You got the same thing. And remember what Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Will a righteous person die with the wicked? And he said, far be it from thee, Lord. And God said, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. I thought you knew me. Here I am, your friend. No way will any righteous perish with the wicked. No way. There is nothing in the Word for that. Then how's he going to come forward with a new word when there's nothing in the Word for it? Now, there's lots of things that can hit us that are in the Word, like sowing and reaping. But remember, if you are an original sowing, and I am, there is nothing that can change that. He can put us through a ringer. He can put us through hell. He can put us through the tribulation. He can rot us. He can dry us out. But he's got to bring us back to what was the original. And if you ever were in that original, that's it. And that's what Brother Brand is trying to get across here and does get across if anybody wants to listen to it. See? Like Brother Branham said, don't let me ever try to divorce him, but he can divorce me. Well, is Brother Branham going to divorce his prophet? Well, his prophet gets out of line, he smack him real good and take him off the earth ahead of his time or anything else he can do. But how can a father deny his son? You can't do it. It's proven right now in the genes. They can split the genes and show whether you belong to that one or not. Well, look, read the papers going on all the time. Some woman, she sees a man as finally famous. So, well, see, I went with him one night. He got me pregnant. Okay, bring the baby out. Let's find what's in the genes. Ah, you're a liar. Get out of here. You're nothing but a cheap prostitute. Trying to make a little money on her prostitution. She didn't make enough the first time. Cheat, cheat, cheat. Scuzzy scum. Yeah, it's in the seed. You're not going to change that. Brother Branham said, you were a gene of God. Now let's go a little further, 84. And the seventh is the Sabbath. Now that's millennium. See, 6,000 years is over. 2, 2, 2, 1. Now, that will take place during the time, the millennial reign. Now, the 6 days are fulfilled. Man has got in his hand right now a weapon with which he can destroy himself. That's the atomic bomb, hydrogen bomb, and so on. He can destroy the world, could blow the world into bits in 1 second. He could shoot a man orbit and swing it around the country over here and say, surrender, I'll let her loose. That's all. What would he do? Why? Anybody with any sense would surrender. Then what? Now you see, he's talking about judgment here, see? And the judgment is in the earth right now and is coming to the place of complete manifestation. All right, and this is the end of the 6,000 years, getting ready to go to number to the 7,000. He says, used to be the big nations dominated little nations. Now, this is before the breakup of Russia. No more. They got the same thing, see? So it's become a time that we see and believe that we're at the end time. And you know that's the truth now. Since the breakup of the USSR, there isn't anybody hard that doesn't have the atomic bomber or a way to make it. We've got it in our hands to just really blow everything up higher than a kite, but it's not going to happen. No. It's not going to be quite the way they think it is. So, all right. Let's go to Revelation and just begin to see this now. Brother Branham has gone through all these ages, the last 2,000 years, which are known as church ages. And all right, in Revelation 1 and 12, and I turned to see a voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Or it says, one like a Son of Man. See? Clothed with the garment down to the foot, and then girt about the paps with the golden girdle. Now, what is this Son of Man? He saw a prophet. He saw a prophet. His head was, and his hair were white like wool. As white as snow, and eyes as flame as fire. Now, Brother Branham had to go to God for his answer. What was the answer? Judge. So they had the judge for seven complete church ages. Right. Every time he sends a messenger, it is with a message, a declaration of truth. And it's that truth that judges the world every single time. And what happens? The people reject it, except for the very elect. And a few foolish virgins don't know what to do. They're just plodding along, and they're doing the best they can. They're not full of the Holy Ghost. They're not bribed. And God has to bring judgment upon the earth. Why? Because the Word is a judging Word. Now, let's take a look at the picture to get you to understand. Here is man, and he's Adam. Now, God now, on this beautiful, wonderful earth, he puts the Garden of Eden. And he puts a woman and man in the Garden of Eden. And he puts a tree of life here. And he puts a tree of good and knowledge evil over here. And he puts this over there. Now, what does God do? He explains it. He tells all about it. And in telling all about it, the path is clear how to go ahead with this wonderful life and this wonderful Word. Now, you got your choice. And that's all he's ever done. And the minute people go off base, it's because they're off base with the Word. That's why Brother Branham said there's no way you can worship and serve God outside of a prophet anymore. And God's his own prophet, so he comes and works through a man, vindicating him. And he said, I'm God, and this is it. Brother Branham even spoke through Brother Branham, if you will receive it. He said, this is not Brother Branham. Now, this is going to send shivers through everybody, because everybody's been taught. When a spirit takes over, that's always the devil. Oh, yeah. I would like a little scripture, if you please. I will even go so far as to bend my knees. But you can't find one, can you? Go ahead. I'm letting it sink in. Do you see how far you've been carried by the devil and the world? Now, how many want to get carried back? And it's just as far back as it went off track. Well, you can go home if you want. It's your business. Do what you want to do. Judge. Okay. Verse 16. And he had in his right hand. And no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Where's his left hand? He's got it, don't worry. He's got it. And he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last. Fear not, don't be afraid of this judge. The word judge scares everybody, even worse than the word policeman. If you call the word of God the policeman, and you call God the judge, it's pretty scary, isn't it? Not here. I'm the first and the last. In other words, the judge, he never changes. The judge is God himself. He works through a prophet. The prophet is called Son of Man. Right down the line, you have this continuity. It never, ever changes. And Brother Branham says, now what about this 1962? The world can absolutely kill itself. Nations have got this. Oh, my. Look at the hour where we are. Let's look at some scriptures concerning this hour in which we live in Matthew 24 goes into a whole lot of it. Peter, the second Peter, goes into it. And oh, so many places in Scripture just go into it. The book of Revelation. They just go into it, into it, into it, into it. And there it is, there it is, there's that prophet, there's that judge, there's the whole thing. Now, let's go to 86 and watch Brother Branham. He says, if that seed of Job's spoken word, and Isaiah spoke of it, you know, Job's the oldest book in the Bible, he says, every man of God, every prophet of God, that he made his secrets known to, and that's only to the prophets now, like David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the rest of them, spoke of that coming seed. And when the season came, it was exactly that way. It always does. It can't fail. It's God's Word. It's eternal. It can't fail. All of us know that Jesus was the Word. Now hold it, there's a place he said he wasn't. That's absolutely. So what's he talking about? He's not talking about Jesus the man here. He's talking about Jehovah. The one that said to Paul, I'm Jehovah, Savior. That's who I am. And that was my son. Now you better come out here in the desert and learn some things. Because you're going to unlearn some things in a hurry. When Brother Branham said that that Jesus left the flesh and went back to pillar fire, don't tell me now we've got a zombie in heaven or just a corpse or someone comatose. Forget it! Pillar of fire went back and sat in the throne. Don't you think for 1 minute, as far as I can read anything Brother Branham was saying. All right, Jesus was that word. We know Jehovah absolutely was that word. And he incarnated himself in that body, that Son of God. Now, what is Brother Branham saying here, based on Job and based on Isaiah, based on every single prophet? And William Branham is a prophet. You better believe him. He said, you better believe me. I'm telling you the truth. And if you don't believe me, you're a judge right now. And you're just waiting for the sentence to fall. Now, see, there's the thing he tried to get across to the bride. When he said to her, he's going to tell you something. He spoke for God. God spake through him and said, you are the righteous, sinless, virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. Oh, well, hey, that sounds good. Let me see now. Who's he talking to? Oh, I just so humble it couldn't be me. I know. Lousy, stinking, arrogant spirit of hell. We call it God. I ask you a question. Who was God talking to back in the garden? Be fruitful and multiply, control the earth. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? And the devil came along and stole it. Now the Bible warns us, lest we let a word slip at the end time. Being fearful. Brother Branham, before he died, let me know he didn't know the meaning of fear. What's to fear? Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But we, by much tribulation, shall enter therein. Oh, tribulation, then I guess I don't have the kingdom. Great servant of God died of cancer. Oh, my, he couldn't have been a servant of God. He wouldn't die of cancer. Scripture, please. Scripture. Give me the best set to learn. See? And people, 2,000 years away from the truth. And you are that people sitting here this morning, and I am one of those people with you. Yeah. And then people scream for revival. Forget it. You've already had the revival. It's the Word of God that's living in you. Give it a chance. Don't look for great big signs and wonders out there. What did all the signs and wonders do there? Got the Hickses and the Osbournes and the old Roberts running around with, oh, hallelujah, he did it, we can do better. You know that song the woman sang? Anything you can do, I can do better. Big mouth woman, the church. Oh, yeah. Anything the prophet does, we can do better. We can do everything better than he. Not for Lee Dale. Yeah. So Brother Branham is saying, listen, the word of the season, that word spoken must come to pass. And you will see that seed of Job was watered exactly by other prophets right to this hour. And the word that he has today is the word, the seed, upon which the latter rain falls, bringing in the perfect harvest, so the reaper catches up with the sower. A quick work. A quick message. Now, 87. Now, let's take his word then. Hebrews 1 said, God in sundry times, divers manners, spake to the prophets, but in these last days, through his son, Christ Jesus. Now, he was a God prophet. Now, Brother Branham corrected that on paragraph 88. God, he called it God prophet. A God prophet is a man like William Branham and Moses and all those others. Now, right here, I think some people can misunderstand me quite easily. When I say prophet, God, prophet, is not the same as saying William Branham is God prophet. He is the prophet of God, but at the same time, God is with his prophet. And you don't separate one from the other. You can't do it. But William Branham was only a part, where Jesus Christ was the complete word. There always that difference is there. Some people don't understand how I preach. And there's no such thing as a fivefold ministry prophet ever taking that place. Or then you have every pastor, every teacher, every evangelist, every apostle in the same way. What they are ministering brethren, especially commissioned by gifts, whereby they, to the people, become what the prophet was to the fivefold ministry in the entire body, bringing that word. And it's always that same word, watered, until it comes forth. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, tells you this. Now, he was a God prophet. He was really God prophet. He was a prophet. Now, why he says a God prophet? Because he wants people to know that this Jesus was a prophet. You must not get away from that fact. Sure, Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet. But this was more than a prophet. He was God manifested in flesh. Now this, he's calling it right here, God prophet. See? Gave us two or three signs that we want to look at here. Great signs that we want to remember. In Matthew 24, when it was asked him, when shall these things be? What will be the coming of the end of the world? That's the consummation end of the ages. When will all this take place? He gave so many different things that would take place. Nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and so forth, and on and on and on. But he said, learn a parable of the fig tree and all other trees. Now that's where Brother Branham is taking you here, to the consummation of all the things he said. And he said, now this is what you really look for. Because all these other things in themselves, they can be there. But this is a major key. And the major key is the parable of the fig tree and all other trees. Because it's not just the fig tree, it's other trees, and they are signifying, of course, nations and so on. Now, you'll notice over here, which we read many times, in Romans 11th chapter, and verses 13 to 15, for I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am false Gentiles, magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of Israel but life from the dead? Now you see, they're blind, they're not dead. So it tells you the resurrection take place. He tells you that. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now look, let me tell you something. The branches don't bear the roots. The roots bear the branches. Branches don't bear the tree. They're part of it. The tree bears the branches. And so he's talking about this thing here. And he's telling you right now that God is going to restore Israel at the time of the resurrection. And at the time of resurrection, of restoration, there's got to be a holy man, a holy people back where they belong. Because God can only deal with Israel in the homeland, because that is where they must be. And then he tells the people here now, you Gentiles that are grafted in, that's no problem. No problem. You are partaking of the life that Israel turned down. But there's coming a day when you're going to be chopped off and Israel brought back in again. No more Gentiles. And it tells you right here, brethren, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery of the fig tree, lest you be wise in your own conceit to draw conclusions about God and Israel, like they're doing right now. British is Israel, America's Israel, everything's hogwash it is, Israel's Israel. And there's only just a tiny little number of them, 144,000 to be in the bride, the rest forget it. Whatever God does with them, I don't know, I have no clue, I'm not interested. Why should I be? In other words, keep my nose out of their business. But it says, here's this blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Israel will be blinded in part. There'll always be a little tiny bit there. And at the end, 144,000. At the end, when all of the Gentiles are brought in, it's all over. And there won't be one more Gentile brought in. That's why I look at attrition. People are going to keep dying off and no one's going to take their places. No way, shape, and form. It's all over. Now, we go to Isaiah chapter 26. And verse 19. Now, Brother Branham is not telling us anything great here because everybody believes Israel in the homeland. But he's confirming it as a prophet. So that's good. They're right there. In verse 19, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they rise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come out, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for the iniquity, and the earth also disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. You're telling right there, judgment is on the earth, as Brother Branham said, it's the hour of the resurrection, and you notice right there it says, awake and sing that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is the dew of herbs. A mist used to come out of the ground, giving life. So these people are going to come out of the ground, and they are the sole reason that life will be upon the earth. Earth's going to be destroyed, and the earth renovated, and they will be brought back. And they were just like the dew of the morning. Which now, that's the same as over here in Genesis, what I just quote, Genesis 2nd chapter, the 6th verse, the dew came up and watered the earth. That dew was that water that caused all life to be there. And remember, Brother Branham said, before there was a fish with a fin, there had to be waters to swim in. And before there's an earth for man to cultivate and take over, it all has to be there. And so therefore, the prime principle of all is man, which is the seed of God. And you're looking at the same thing. Everything that we're looking in the future has to do with our resurrection. Just what it says here. Clear as ABC. 86. How many in here are Christian? Now raise your right hand. Thank you. 100%. All right, watch close now, which we bring the end time seed sign. Jesus said, learn a parable of the fig tree. Now learn a parable of what? The fig tree. Now everyone knows that read the Bible, the fig tree has always been the Jewish race. It's the emblem of the Jewish race. It's the symbol. Joel said, what the palmer worm left, the caterpillar ate, and so on. That was the stump. That's what the creeds and the things that ate the church down. But God said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Now, the Jews were cut off. Now, Brother Branham is telling it as it is, and this is, thus saith the Lord as a prophet, allied with Job and all the rest who brought the seed word, and this is it. Now, Jesus said, learn a parable of the fig tree. Now, that tree, like Job saw, if it dies, will it live again? I see right there. And he talked about the bride tree. He's talking now about tree. And remember, we talk about genealogy as a tree. So, all right, we're talking about then these groups. So, all right. Now, remember, this is Israel. Now, remember, Brother Branham said that the name influences the person. Now, remember, his name was called Jacob, which was a slang and a vulgar word, which meant a supplanter. And he was not a supplanter. His hand was on the heel of the brother, and that didn't... They wanted to make it like a man that trips somebody up and so on. So, God himself changed the name, and he called him Israel, which means prince with God. And I'll tell you something. The Jews have never forgot their Israel. They've never forgotten it. Now, just like the name of Jesus, every name has a bearing and an influence. Brother Branham talked about it. He said certain names should never be. Like he said, I wish I'd never call my daughter Rebecca. Everybody calls her Becky. See, so it's a horrible name. And there's other names, too, that are very bad. Like Elvis means cat. Ricky means rat. There are certain names that are very, 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 very bad. They just never should be. Now, Israel has kept that. And therefore, it has stood instead, good stead, whether people know it or not. It has given them the ability because it lies in there because of what God called them. Now, they identified, and even in their wrong identification, using Zionism and all these other things, as Brother Branham said, I don't care how they got there, God put them there. Talking about Zionism and the Wall Street Jew. So, all right, and Brother Branham was not a racist. He understood Scripture. All right, 91. Now, the Jews were cut off, Paul tells us, and the Gentiles grafted into the kingdom. But notice, Jesus said, learn a parable of the fig tree. Now, that tree, like Job saw, if it dies, will it live again? Sure. Now, when you see the fig tree and all other trees of what? There's trees of life. There's trees of creed, denomination. There's a creed of nations. And when you see the fig tree and all other trees putting forth buds, boughs, fixing the leaf out, you say summer is nigh. In other words, it's time for the fruit to come forth, to truly identify what is there. In other words, to bring into manifestation what lay within it. Now, you're getting that right now. What lay within Israel was brought into manifestation. And Israel is a pretty tricky little nation. Had Israel been left alone and not messed up by America, the same Arabs that were chanting and screaming, we're going to push her into the sea, Israel could have pushed them into the sea. They had the chance. And America said, hey, don't do that. America's a clown. America's a jerk. It's going to turn on Israel for the oil. You watch. It's going to be very bad for all the Jews. The Jews know that. Don't worry. That's why they're trying to fix and con the government. And the more they try to con our government, the more the people are going to hate them. Let's face it. America's got people over here that don't want to work for a living. They just play around and should take somebody else's tax money and scream all the murders going on. They say, well, you've got to do this and that for them. The more you do for people, they don't do for themselves, the worse it is. So they say, well, why send it over there? Why send it here? Why there? Why the other place? And Israel comes tapping and tapping. I'm just saying these things. I'm glad they're getting the money. Hey, the quicker the better. It's all over with. That's the plan of God. That's what we want. But America will turn on the Jews. They've been for some time doing it, and they will do it. And you know what? God said so. But watch the Jews, Israel. They still have that name that they bear. Now, they may be bearing in a sense in vain, but there's 144,000 armed. They're going to be those with the bride up there. Don't you disbelieve that for 1 minute. Now, notice, making a parable out of the nations. Now, God deals with the Gentiles for a bride, one here, one there. But he deals with the Jews as a nation, not individual, but as a nation. That's why they've been God's chosen nation. God chose them as a nation. Missionaries go to Jerusalem and things. When Israel is saved, she'll be a nation. He's saying, why are you missionaries trying to go there and do something? Maybe get one or two? Sure. But you're not going to get Israel. It's going to take God to do it. See? Now, that's right. So Israel will accept Christ just as a nation, not as individuals. Now, the point is, after the resurrection, where do we find ourselves? As a holy nation. Priests and kings unto Almighty God with the temple worship restored. You see? But notice now what he said. Let's take it. And let's watch it clear. When you see the fig tree begin to bud again, and all the trees putting forth their buds. So, all right? They're doing it. Summertime. One day they're going to say the summer is past. We're not saved. Now, everything is having revival, or just had a revival. The Jews are back in their homeland as a nation, flying their flag. Their own government got their own money. They're a nation for the first time, I think, about 1,800 years, or maybe 22 might be more like it. 2,200 years, Israel a nation again. The oldest flag in the world, six-point star David, flies again. And for the first time, 2,200 years. And Jesus said, when she begins to put forth her buds, the time is at hand. Israel talking to the Jews. That's what he's talking to the Jews now. Now watch. He said, when all other trees begin to put forth, the Roman Catholic Church has had the greatest sweep it ever had. Protestant Church had the greatest revival. Billy Graham, Jack Schuler, Pentecostals, greatest revivals. Oral Roberts, Tommy Hicks, the rest of them, great men, a great revival. Notice, The powers have had a revival. The national powers, there's a revival on now. Who's going to be the greatest power? Communism? Everybody you hear, preacher stands at the pulpit talking, oh, let us fear communism. Nonsense. Show me the scripture where communism will rule the world. Romanism will rule the world, not communism. Look at King Nebuchadnezzar's vision, the word of the Lord, the head of gold, brass down to the Roman feet, which was iron, and never changed. See? Never changed. And stone, and the stone that came while it was still in the iron smote it. Remember, at the end time, the iron was mixed with clay. Weakness, clay and iron together. This great meeting they just had up there with Khrushchev and Eisenhower, you know. What Khrushchev means in his own native nation, his national tongue, it means mother clay. You know what Eisenhower means in English? Iron. And to even make it so plain to the people, Khrushchev took off his shoe and beat the desk. They will not agree. What's going to rule? Rome will rule. A confederation of churches with Catholicism will bind it together, and right there you are seeing the ruling power. The Bible says that. That's the seed that can't fail. Because why? It's in the Bible, and don't look elsewhere, don't figure it out, don't look anywhere. Rome and its confederacy, the old Roman Empire, now the Holy Roman Empire, is and remember the Berlin Wall is down now, so it's back where it was. Now look today, isn't this new Pope inviting Protestant churches in? Aren't they going? What about your Pentecost? The same thing, Federation of Churches, there you are. The seed's got to come to pass. This has got to happen. It's got to mature. It's time for it to mature. It's time for it to mature. Now he's talking as a prophet now, right along with Job and Isaiah, Paul. The people, what did they do? Organize and kept building greater buildings and bigger organizations, greater denominations. And what's happened? Same thing, exactly what the Bible said they do. That's what the God prophet Jesus Christ said would take place. Back to Matthew 24 and 25 and so on. The Jews would be restored and there'd be a great revival among them as the nations come together as a nation. And there'd be a revival amongst the Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, and so forth. A revival amongst the Pentecostals, and there you are. Nation will be striving against nation. The seed matured. Israel became a nation after 2,200 years. What's happened? The churches all got together having revival. Yes, sir. Another great seed was planted. And here's what you're looking at right here. You're talking about the end time. He said in the last days in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, there would come among the church a falling away from Bible faith. That's right. Is that a seed? Is that a promise? Look at them today. Look at our churches. What are they doing? They're organizing themselves together. They're cooperating, binding themselves together, and failing. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the real, true Word of God. Now, he speaks as a prophet. And there's nothing you can do about it. And you go to this 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. He does not bring it to us. He just leaves it to ourselves. But in there you'll notice, know also in the last days perilous times shall come. Men lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's the kind of people come into the churches, into ours too. Without natural affection. Oh, brother. Well, we got rid of them. Truth speakers, false accusers, there you are again. Incontinent, fierce, despised of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And right down it tells you, Jannes and Jambres, and right on down to the very line. Brother Branham used that in the Anointed Ones of the End Time and so on and so on. So what you're looking at here is the Anointed Ones of the End Time and what we know to be the truth. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the real, true Word of God. You say the Bible says this. These things are past. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. They say days of miracles are past a long time ago. There's no such thing as a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Only for a handful of people, 12 apostles and so on. See, what is that seed? It's maturing. It's the end time seed sign. So Brother Anna is saying here, what you've got here is the form of organized disbelief and unbelief all coming together and playing down their differences as it were putting all the dirt under the rug, and you got the same thing in this message today. Everybody has the idea. You must all be nice to everybody, which I am not against. But everybody come together and never mind the word now, you know what it is. So I believe this, I believe that. All you got to do is believe the prophet and you're okay. Moses, all Israel believed Moses. Where did they take him? Yet Jesus said, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd recognize me. So if you believe William Branham, who would you recognize? You'd recognize Christ. You'd have to see Christ the Word. And that's the thing we're looking at. It's maturing all false doctrine of either refuting or changing the word or denying it or making it up. It's all being mixed together under the Pope. And he's the great mixer of everything. Because he mixes even complete heathenism, voodoo, and all together. What did Jesus say? When you see these things happening, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. That's to the church. We saw she would fall away. All right, we find that. He said, all right. So, in 1962, Brother Branham told us we are in the season of reaping. Union now, the gathering of the tares, the bundling ready for the burning, but the wheat must be gathered in the garner. Now, we said in the last days, Joel told us, the other part of Scripture, listen close now, that there would be a former and latter rain in the same season. Now, that's what you got to watch. How many Christians know that? Say amen. Sure. Now, the other day, to my surprise, when I looked, the former and latter rain would come in the same season. Now, the word former in the Hebrew word, and you get your Hebrew lexicon out and find it, the Hebrew word for former means moreh, and moreh means teaching. There will be a teaching rain. Now, remember, you can't take from the word or add to it. So if there's going to be a teaching word, it would have to be the teaching of the original word for that season for which it was predicated. Then when it comes by divine intervention and vindication, and the people miss it, they're gone. Because that is the harvest. You're reaping people. Put in the sickle to the vine of the earth. People. In a certain mode and manner. God has already harvested his bride, which is wheat, and put her into the garner. Now, how did they get the wheat in the old day? Well, they used to let the animals trample it and then lift it up in the air for the wind to blow all the junk out. So if you've been trampled or haven't been trampled in this message, I don't think you're bride at all. I think you're just playing around the edges. The truth. He said, I hear the sound of the combines. Who knows what a combine is? It's made up of drums with concaves. Isn't that right, Greg? Got these concaves and it picks up the wheat and wham, 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 wham. And it knocks the chaff and the dust. Boom! But the wheat goes drizzling through. Into what? Bags? Into the granary. Now the wheat takes a beating, but doesn't get hurt. No, it doesn't get burned. So, all right. You may get you jolted around a little bit, and so we should be. If we're not jolted with this message, God have pity. We're past feeling. The Bible speaks of people past feeling. Are we past feeling? I hope not. Now he said here, teaching. There will come a teaching rain. What is it? Putting the seeds into the earth. What's the earth? People. What's going on? Well, we find out there's been a teaching rain going on. Baptists say 1 million more in 44. They're gold, so they got that membership. And Billy Graham's great revival, great evangelist, look what he did. Look at Oral Roberts, the Pentecostals. There's been a teaching rain that's gone forth. And there's been a national, that's a secular government, teaching rain. Communism sold among the people and everything like that. So you got clay and iron mixing, democracy, and clay. And the actual fact of the matter is that if you put the two together with the proper headship, which would be God, you would definitely find that every man is a free enterprise individual with his own little old crop, his own house, his own vine, and God's just making everything nice for him. The government can't do that, honey, because the government stinks. You think I'd trust Metzenbaum? No farther than I'd trust Glenn. Why should I? Every evidence I have, they're not to be trusted. If those birds can't even make a decent road for me to get on and off, don't tell me they can run the world and make a road for them. Come on, every evidence is it's all over. It's insane. No longer does two and two make four. Two and two make an unknown evolution. No proof. And they say, oh, yeah, it's evolution. Don't you dare teach creation. Now, that's not scientific. What do you mean it's not scientific? Create a bug for me. I haven't got a TV. If anybody has, and this is naughty, 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 naughty me, I'll phone my daughter. I would like the program tonight at 9 o'clock where they're scared with what they're doing by splitting genes. You know about that, Peter, in the sense that you know they're scared. They don't know what's going to happen. They've already created their monster. That's us, those serpent seed out there. You can't do worse than that. You cannot do worse than a serpent seed that pretends to worship God and wants to run the world. There's no way. They've already got their abomination of desolation as far as science is concerned. They won't give up on it. Shoot. Put something from the ant in it that has a little bit of formaldehyde. What is it? That won't let you antifreeze in it. And so your strawberries won't get, frozen. Oh, brother. Shoot. Yep, that just shows what the world can do, and that's as far as they're going to go. There's been a Roman revival. Do you know what happens if they give back the western part? Here's their quote now, or the eastern part, rather, back to a part of the Berlin Bloc. That puts communism, the Roman Empire, just exactly in the old circle as it was at the time of Jesus. Certainly does, perfectly. Now, he said that's going to happen back in 62, and it happened quite a few years back, of course, but he wasn't around to see it. Now, there's a revival going on. Now, actually, it's a past tense in the sense that the planting was done and the people got excited and went right into it. But there's a revival going on. What is it? A sowing. So he tells you what a revival is. It's a sowing. Now then, if a bride has a revival, what is it? It's a sowing. We found that before, that the word revival meant the word brought to the bride. Why? Because it's restoration. And if you have restoration, you've got revival. Because nothing outside of this message comes to life. And revival means to bring back to life. To vivify again. Hey, we're ready for the resurrection. 105. You don't hear very much of Billy Graham anymore, do you? What about Oral? What about the rest of them? You know the great revival fire is not burning. What is it? It's the end time seed sign. Seed means it's come full circle. So Brother Branham said, what I'm telling you now lets you know it's all over, that the tares have been bundled for one thing, to be put into the machine. The same as the wheat is bundled, going through the machine to go through the garner. There is a process now of ripening and consolidation and crystallization, full maturity, to the point where the moisture has gone out. Now, you know, your farmers here, some of you know that the elevator docks you if there's too much moisture in your corn or anything else. They don't want it. So what are we doing? We're drying out to everything like Paul. So there's nothing left but that pure wheat. Now, when there's nothing left but that pure wheat, there's the chaff and the rest of the stuff, which either is burned or means manure. Right, Ross. Now, there's green manure, brothers and sisters. It doesn't mean a cow ate it. It simply means you turn the crop under. So I can use the word manure the same way we plow the chaff and everything under. It comes through the manure process. Decomposition with his channels. So, all right, we are looking at that, and the bride is in it now. So it's live, die, sink, swim. I can't change my mind because there's no place to change it. Oh, boy. I got a lot of nodding heads here, but I couldn't hear the marbles battling. And you didn't say amen, but that's all right. You're with me. All right. You don't hear very much about Billy Graham anymore. What about Orr? What about the rest of them? You know the great revival fire is not burning. What is it? It's the end time seed sign. End time seed sign. End time seed sign. People have made up their minds. They don't want him. Forget him. Why, he believed in abortion, that guy did. Oh, yeah. They quote one little thing, didn't quote the rest. He did not believe in abortion. He didn't even believe in birth control except under the proper conditions. Oh, yeah, he was a moneymaker. What money? I've seen him blow fat as a fritter. Oh, brother. But the world loves the lies. But I love the truth. Well, at least I certainly believe I do. The word's been sown. See, all the false things, all the government things, everything about our government and the nations, everything has been sown. If it's sown, and remember, there in that sowing is a short time of sowing to the reaping. This is what's peculiar. History will not be written. This is history. See, the sowing and the reaping. Now, what is it, he says? Denomination will reap denomination. And that makes them a confederate, a confederate together, a confederation. See? Now, what we're looking at, in my understanding, is a little plateau, a little low. We've had the sowing, we've had the rain, we've had everything else, and now there's just, because it's that evening time, it's neither light nor dark, it looks like it's not really ripening. You say, well, you know, it's not really ripening. I got news for you. Our ripening is on the inside. The light of the glorious gospel has shined into our hearts. So we've got a ripening the world doesn't know about, even the bride doesn't know about, because she's looking for great big things to do. Brother Branham said, you've seen your last sign. All you need now is to live good Christian life. That's why I've tried in vain to have somebody follow me in this pulpit and preach good, godly Christian message to you people. No, don't think I can't do it because I can. But that's not my calling. My calling's whatever word I can teach way out there and teach it real hard, because that's the priest before he died, that's what he told me. You can do what you want. I know people try to get me off track, and but they can't get me off track. They can steal all the money they want. They can have the church and burn it down, throw me in jail. You ain't going to change me. How are you going to change me? Who's going to change me? I can't help myself. When you get past the perpendicular, the law of gravity takes over. You're gone. I'm telling you the truth. When you jump off that fence, you just try to reverse. Not even a cotton picking acrobat can do it. God doesn't have acrobats. There seems like a plateau. Don't let that bother you. In one little way, shape, or form, it's an inner light. If you don't know where that is, that's in the fourth chapter of the second book of Corinthians. Start about verse 18 and the third and go on. Now, Brother Branham says on page 28, 106, but the word of God has been sowed also. See, Deuteronomy, second time round. And when remember, as old Bunyan brought out, when Deuteronomy was written, it was the word twice given. And it was not law, but it was grace. And grace is the right hand of God in blessing. We're not upon Mount Abel. We're upon Mount Gerizim. We are at the foot of Mount Zion, our mother New Jerusalem. But the word of God has been sowed also. And when the Spirit of God begins to fall, the word of God will live in the people. Now that's your latter rain. That's a true latter rain. Now, we're in the time of what was known as latter rain. You can call it that, which was really Brother Branham did not call it that. He called it the Word of God manifested in power. We have seen the Word of God manifested in power, its authority, but we have not seen it manifested in its revelation. Now, to manifest in its revelation, number one, takes the seed to receive it. And the manifestation, remember, Mount Carmel has taken place. Mount Zion is in process. And nobody knows this but the bride. Now, and when the Spirit of God begins to fall, the Word of God will live in the people. And that false bride that's committed adultery out there and brought herself into creeds and sold out her birthright will reap what? A confederation of churches that's to be bound and burned like the thorns and thistles. But where the Word of God's been sowed into people's hearts, it'll reap a bride for Christ as certain as I'm standing here, end time signs. So Brother Branham said the end time seed sign is there's a seed of God Almighty and she's standing here right now. Now we have every single thing out here that tells what they are. If we are not identified with that and we are completely exclusive and reclusive, then we have to be bright. You know why I say that? This is not by the law of elimination. This is by the law of the harvest. Harvest is not a law of elimination. Harvest is a law of harvest. Put it in the garner, it'll come up someplace else. Get the dead out of the ground, someplace else. Get us out of here, someplace else. Get us up there, someplace else. Get us down here, someplace else. New Jerusalem. Not elimination. Not speculation. It's a case 100% discrimination, which comes from the word discern. Judge. End time seed sign. End time seed sign. That is being done out there, then it's got to be done in here. As Brother Branham so carefully said and correctly, if we're not bright, there's a bright out there somewhere. What's the matter, Church of God? What's the matter with us? What's the matter with you, Baptists, Presbyterians, Assembly of God, Jesus only, all the rest of you? What's the matter with us? Can't you see? Be careful what kind of a seed you're taking in your womb of your heart. Don't you take creeds. You take the Word. See? Now, remember the end time seed signs are not to be confused with the seeds, the signs out there that the world takes. But it is absolutely to go back to being a virgin of the Word according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 where she went off. They've been talking so much about latter rain, not disregarding. He calls it discarding, which is always you latter rain brethren. But that's not the latter rain. If the latter rain would have been here, the power of God would have struck that thing and she'd have swept the world. The latter rain's fixing to come. What's the matter? The church is manufacturing herself something just like Eve tried to do. She tried to have more light to manufacture something. You've done this. We've done the same thing, trying to make something in ourselves. Keep your hands off of it. Let God do it. What did Mary say? Be it unto me according to thy word. Now, let me see. I can just fix this up over here. Let me see. Now, if I eat this cereal just exactly right, and I go over here and see Rabbi Schmitz and Rabbi Bonoff, this one here, and I run over here and I do these little things here and I do these little things there, that's sure to be right. Hogwash. Pregnant is pregnant. You can either let the body go, bring it forth in full time of gestation and bear that child, you're going to abort it. Take your pick. But you tell me what you do of your own volition, nothing. If your body doesn't go into action, you've got a mess. It's out of your hands. And that's exactly what Brother Branham is trying to tell us here. It is out of our hands. If the word's in there, you're pregnant with it. Now you want to abort it? You never believed in the first place. You're a make-believer. If you're not pregnant, you're an unbeliever. Now you're pregnant with the Word of God. That's the whole thing. Keep your hands off. Let God do it. Take His Word and believe it. Hold in your heart. And when the rain begins to fall, life will take hold and the Word will manifest itself like Mary. What will it bring forth? It'll bring Him forth to the church. We'll meet Him in the air. That's what you're looking at right here. All right. When I get back... We covered quite a bit of ground, didn't we, today? Now, if I don't take any more of this little message, I actually think we've covered it very thoroughly. End time seed sign. So, Brother Baird, do you mean to tell me I'm a sign to the world? Oh, if you're not a sign to the world, what are you? Well, I'm not doing any great thing. Who asked you to? Who told you to? People still haven't learned that the great things with man is stupid, vulgar foolishness with God. And the great things of God are stupid, vulgar little things with man. And there again you have the man that wanted to count the horse's teeth, and the horse counted the man's fingers. And a horse is a power, a beast. I can see a lot of people without fingers who call themselves real Christians and real bride. Yeah, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your time you've given us of life and breath and food and clothing and shelter and freedom from molestation, all those dangers and harms in the world. When we see all these things going on, wanton killings, everything, Lord, so particularly vile and vulgar, such, Lord, as to make us tremble if we'd even take a moment to heed these things. We know they're there, and we thank you, O God, for how day after day, moment by moment, breath by breath, step by step, thought by thought, you have charted our course and helped us even against our own will. You have disregarded our own pettiness and our foolishness and have looked on us through the blessed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great mediator, the great intercessor, standing for us. And you have counted us, Lord, even as Brother Branham said, I never made this choice, he made it for me. So we ourselves see that we are that spotless, virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't even do it. And Lord, that is marvelous, just even think about it. Help us to accept it, Lord. We do accept it. May it show forth. May we realize as we proclaim the truth that we are already that visible end time seed sign with all the others out there manifesting where they're at. And Lord, we know the showdown, Carmel's taking place. We're now in the process of Mount Zion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us to realize that, realize who and what we are. Exactly as Israel, that name counts, that name influences. We are bride, Lord. Help us. As Brother Branham said, I don't even call you saints anymore. I call you bride. Why should we do different? Why should we not hear the prophet? Not only may it be so, it is so, as the prophet said. If we're not it, there's a bride out there who is it, and she will call herself bride. And there will be others who call themselves bride. The word hasn't taken hold, so Lord, let us bring our testimony right up front and bear it with joy and gladness, knowing, Lord, that you will bring your word to pass in every human vessel in whom that word is, foreknown, elected, predestinated bride. Thank you for the healings you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for faith and all the blessings, Lord, of which we cannot number them. All the goodness, Lord, if we just take time to sit down and look at it instead of the other things. We hardly have time during the day except to enumerate and glorify thy name. And so we praise you this morning. Ask you, Lord, to heal the sick amongst us. Encourage those that are down in any way, shape, and form. Make them to realize that there's not just a land beyond the river anymore. We've already entered that great dimension, those rivers, those waters to take us across. Time and eternity have blended. The tree of life is here. Oh, God, what a day it is. What a day it is. All by revelation. And we thank you for revelation which we build upon. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.